This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hey you, are you wasting your time on social media again? Your brothers and sisters in Islam Net from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. There's a huge need for it in Norway. You know this and I know this. So that makes the reward even greater. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? And Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. The blessed month of Ramadan is upon us, a month of fasting, a month of sacrifice, a month of charity, a month of prayer, a month of self-discipline, and inshallah a month where we recite the Quran and read it as well. We believe in one God worthy of worship, and this is the month where we can do our purpose the most, because our purpose is to worship this one God worthy of worship. Someone who's negated this purpose, or any kind of purpose relating to a deity, or indeed the existence of any deity at all, is none other than Richard Dawkins, whose arguments have become so labored and tired and repeated that now I have to say the whole Richard Dawkins effect, as well as the new atheist phenomena, has almost withered away to a state of non-existence. Despite this being the case, he has come and done an interview with Piers Morgan. Let's take a look at some segments of this interview which are pertinent to the God discussion and come and respond in kind.
What happened before, say you go for the Big Bang argument? Well, what was there before? What does nothing look like?
Physicists are debating this. I'm not a physicist, but they're debating it. My point is that they don't know, and I don't know, and you don't know, and it doesn't help to postulate a God that did it.
But you're certain it's not a God, and yet you admit you don't know.
No, I'm certain that it doesn't help to postulate something very complicated at the outset, because what we've got is primeval simplicity, and from that stems everything. Mm.
You see, the first thing here, there's two aspects which I find quite interesting about this discourse here. First, we've heard this before from Richard Dawkins ad nauseam, okay? But the second is this presupposition here that whether or not there is a before the Big Bang, that has any bearing or relevance, or it's crucial to the idea of God existing or not. Because, of course, you can make arguments for God's existence which are timeless. In other words, are not restricted to time, which are not, for example, related to a before or an after. This is one aspect which is extremely important, because it may be assumed, especially for those followers of, or those people who have known, you know, Thomas Aquinas' first way, or even Aristotle's argument for the prime mover, that if this, then this, and then before, and then you have to have a prime mover that kind of moves everything into existence, that this is the only argument for God's existence. You can have arguments for God's existence which don't relate to time in that sense. So that's a very important point. Whether or not there was even a beginning of the Big Bang, or whether or not the universe was eternal. And of course, we don't believe that the universe was eternal. The science, Richard Dawkins doesn't believe in it. Most, I would say, maybe scientists today don't believe in that. But despite that being the case, it doesn't mean that in order for us to make arguments for God's existence, now we have to have a before the universe existed scenario. This is the first thing. Because, of course, as he kind of alluded to, but he kind of restricted it to physics, it's not the case, Richard Dawkins mentioned, that this is an argument for physicists. Actually, philosophers have been discussing this as well. Philosophers and physicists have been discussing different theories of time. You know, you've got A series, B series, you have dynamic versus static, you have different timed notions, you have quantum fluctuations and times relating to the quantum physics. So what is time in the first place? I mean, time is speed over distance, and speed over distance from a physics perspective is really just movement, and which is why, as I say, it lends itself to some arguments for God's existence. So that's the first thing. It doesn't need to, although it can do, it doesn't need to be a prominent feature of the discourse in order for any kind of argument for God's existence to be made. However, did you notice that Richard Dawkins, when he was discussing with Piers Morgan, he says, "I don't know and you don't know"? How do you know that he doesn't know if you don't know? I mean, this doesn't make sense to me. And he does this all the time. If you're an ignorant person, If you're ignorant of something, then how do you know that someone else's ignorance is identical to your ignorance if you're ignorant? It's this kind of having your cake and eating it both, having your epistemological cake and eating it as well at the same time. How can you have both? If you're ignorant, then don't be an arrogant, ignorant person. Because if you're an agnostic, which of course you call yourself an atheist, I mean, Richard Dawkins calls himself an atheist. He's been categorized as a strident atheist, someone who flagrantly talks about the non-existence of God. But in reality, he's an agnostic. So the most, you know, flagrant atheist, strident atheist, the symbol of atheism, especially in the UK and the West, is actually agnostic. This is actually interesting. He's saying, I don't know, but you don't know as well. But then if you don't know, how do you know that he doesn't know if you don't know? This doesn't make sense. It's just really, let's call it what it is. It's arrogant ignorance. Let's just call you what you are, Richard Dawkins. You're an arrogant man because you're postulating what other people do or do not know, but also you're an ignorant man because agnosticism is basically ignorance. That's all it is. When you're saying I don't know, you're saying I am ignorant. So you're combining the worst of the two vices together. So just to summarize this point, arguments for God's existence don't require a time condition. You can make arguments for God's existence without time being a factor. And in fact, he's going to make an argument for God's existence, or he's going to allude to one, which we should watch now, actually. But before we do so, the second thing is, which I want to summarize, is that you can't say you don't know and I don't know and you don't know, or you don't know and I don't know, because if you don't know, you don't know what other people know. So don't try and combine arrogance and ignorance in this manner, because you'll make a comical fool out of yourself. Let's take a look at the second let's take a look at the second video.
We are a tiny, tiny dot in the universe, right?
Exactly.
So you don't know what else is out there, really, other than what scientists have already established.
No, I think it's highly likely that there are other beings out there which are much cleverer than we are. Superhuman, not supernatural, but superhuman. And I would love to meet them.
Okay, you see, I mean, if you watch this carefully, I thought this was actually very good strategy from Richard Dawkins. And this is from someone who's written a book about him and the New Atheist. I've written a book called The Scientific Delusions of the New Atheist, which is free of charge. You can get it from PDF from the Sapiens Institute. So someone who's read all of his works, practically. And I've seen his strategy in his debates. I have seen and known this is a good strategy from Richard Dawkins. I have to give him credit. Because Piers Morgan asked him a question which related, although not explicitly, to the fine-tuning of the universe. Richard Dawkins, as well as Christopher Hitchens and many of the new atheists, are fully aware of the difficulty of the task of responding to this argument. It's on the record. In fact, Richard Dawkins himself in the book The God Delusion refers to it as the Goldilocks zone. He refers to it that himself. He agrees to the fine-tuning. He can't deny it. And then he has something called the anthropic principle. And then it's different. You've got the weak and the strong. He doesn't go into this. Instead, he just diverts the entire discussion. I find it quite intelligent strategically. Piers Morgan didn't follow this because obviously he's not in tune with these kind of things. He's a journalist. You can't hold him to account too much. Although he asked the first question, which was, I think, a good question. What is the probability, he's asking, right? But let me rephrase the question in a way which maybe the viewers will understand. Okay, number one, whether or not they're humans or superhumans, because he started talking about superhumans, Richard Dawkins, whether or not there's humans or superhumans or life, animal life or human life, whatever life form there is, my question is as follows. You have a universe, correct? No one's going to say no. Yes, you have a universe. Yes? Okay, yeah, we have a universe. Is he going to deny? Is Richard Dawkins going to deny? No, he's not. Is he going to deny? No. We have a universe. Yes. We have life in the universe. Yes. Whether it's human life or superhuman life or animal life. Okay, fine. There are laws in the universe which are consistent, which allow continually for life to exist in the universe. Say that again. Just say it again. There are laws in the universe which consistently allow for human or any kind of life to exist in the universe. Is that a fact? Yes, it is a fact. Whether you want to have a nominalist or a conceptualist view of laws, I'm not talking about a substance, but the conditions of the universe are such that it allows, yes, it allows the continued existence for some time of the or for some period of time of life. What is the explanation of this? That's my question, Richard Dawkins. He's going to say, I don't know, and you don't know, and we don't know. No, I'm going to say that's not an answer. That is you purporting that I don't know anything. The question is, what is the best explanation, huh, for this? What is the best explanation for the fact that the conditions of the universe continually allow life to exist within it? What's the best explanation for that? That's all the question I'm asking. Think about it for a second. I'm not going to give you the answer. You're clever enough to think about it. Think about it. Is the best explanation that it came from nothing, which Piers Morgan correctly identified as something really unintelligible. Nothingness doesn't really, there's no evidence that it exists in the real world in the first place. The absence of something. Okay. Where did it come from? Randomness? We don't believe in randomness. Randomness is just your ignorance. You don't understand something, you call it random. That's what randomness is. So where did it come from? Where did these conditions, or how are these conditions so that they allow for the continued existence of life in the universe? That's all the question I have. And if you're saying that, well, the best explanation is X, Y, and Z, let's hear it. Let's hear whatever explanation you have. What we're proposing is that laws come from a lawmaker, an intelligent one at that, one with knowledge, one with the ability to change the situation. Because had that not been the case, the situation would not have been changed. It's a fine, simple answer to a very simple question. And we don't have time to watch the video, but I will mention something interesting. He, in the same interview, he was mentioning, you know, in the sick bed, if you were dead or if you were going to die, and you were being... Richard Dawkins fascinatingly admitted, okay, he fascinatingly admitted that it would be much harder for him than for a religious person. And that's interesting. I'm not saying therefore God exists. No one's saying therefore God exists. But existentially, this is interesting. Why would someone choose this way of life when, number one, it doesn't answer for... It has no explanatory scope. Atheism doesn't explain the complexity of the universe, the fact that the conditions of the universe allow life to exist within it continually, nor does it explain the purpose of life. Atheism is a vacuous... nonsense claim that doesn't explain anything, which is why Richard Dawkins himself, although he calls himself an atheist and people call him that, is not actually an atheist. He's an agnostic, which means really he's an ignorant person. So why are people so fascinated and had been so fascinated in this country, for example, of following an ignoramus with his own self-admission? I say that it's best for us not to follow this tract, and in fact to follow something else, the Quran, which is the book we were talking in the beginning about. The Quran asks the following question: أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ? This is a question. Do you believe that you were created aimlessly and that you will not be returned to us? Is that really your presupposition? Do you believe that? أَحَسِبَ الْإِنسَانَ أَيُّتْرَكَ سُدًى? Does the individual believe that he's going to be left aimless? Think about those questions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.